Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Oh, it's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Good morning to another edition of Cabale and Mac. 2 days in a row? Yeah, 2 days in a row, because yesterday was Cut Don Day. And as soon as we had conversations about certain guys, I don't want to say those conversations went out the window, but they definitely changed. There's a former Aaron Rodgers target who's available after getting cut this preseason. Are the Steelers interested? One guy says they might be. We'll talk about all that. And for those of you that come here for the little bit of WWE wrestling talk that we do, I found something kaboom from over the weekend that we got to show folks that are big fans of one guy in particular who isn't around much anymore, if at all. We'll get into it before the end of the show. I know a whole bunch of people still come to us to hear about that. Fake wrestling. Still real to me, damn it. But welcome into episode 92. Thanks to Southwest Greens for supporting the show. You want to get your yard taken care of. And I mean, once and for all, get the yard taken care of with a beautiful artificial surface around the pool area. Maybe an area for the kids to play in the back. Maybe you just want your yard to be more functional and not have to spend too much time, effort, or money and maintenance on it. Check out southwestgreenspa.com. They do beautiful work. And we love them because they're supporters of Cabale and Mac. This isn't the 53-man roster, is it, Kaboom?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, I know it's officially right now the 53-man roster. More things are going to happen before next Sunday.
I mean, you can say whatever you want to say about Will Howe next Sunday. I'm looking for later today, probably.
Okay.
They have to clear waivers.
Yeah.
Then they can pick up and move people who they want to where they're going. You look at a guy like they kept was Dante Kent. That's an absolute perfect example of how this roster is going to change, because Dante Kent barely even practiced at all this year, and they kept him on the 53-man roster as a seventh-round pick? No.
And cut Beanie and James Pierre, two guys we thought it might be an either-or proposition.
So, right there, you know that they're just trying to sneak him back through the practice squad. I don't know why they have to jump through all the hoops to do that, considering the guy has not – he was a seventh-round pick that didn't really do anything during training camp at all. So, there'll be things moved around. I don't know how much will be taken into account that being on the roster after the 53-man set and their contracts being guaranteed. That's why you see a lot of guys being signed, cut right now, veterans, vested vets, and brought back week two, just in case they don't have to guarantee their contracts right there. So that could play into a part of it. And, of course, the old elephant in the room, what they're going to do with the wide receiver. I mean, snooping hard. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, they're interested.
They're active. Is that a fair way to put it? You think they're active? Talking to people.
People want definitive answers right now. And we should have learned through last year with the Ayuk stuff this thing just can go in any direction at any time. So just put it this way. They're out snooping around. Who it might be is anybody's guess right now, because last year they thought they had Ayuk and see what happened there. So I guess you might have to be patient. This could be the next couple of days. I mean, the whole point of me saying 10 to 12 days whenever I said it was meaning after cut down day and before that Monday, right in this area right now, they're going to really try to look for somebody.
Okay, so let's back it up, because we talked about the Robert Woods situation a little bit yesterday before we knew he was getting cut. And you made that point that you made just a couple minutes ago about, hey, vested veterans, bring them back after week two, the contract's not guaranteed, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that's a possibility still, maybe a fallback position for them if Robert Woods doesn't decide to go somewhere else and they can't actually make something happen with another wide receiver. But I want to go back to the other side of the ball for just a second. Dante Kent, who you started out talking about. Were they worried? This is what I don't understand. And I know this is just your opinion on the matter, but like, were they worried that they weren't going to get Dante Kent through to the practice squad after the initial round of cuts? Like, it would strike me that exposing Beanie Bishop and or James Pierre would be much more of a risk than exposing Dante Kent to waivers.
Yeah, they must have really liked Dante Kent. I mean, it's hard to tell because, like I said, he rarely practiced at all, had the boot on his leg. He could have a red shirt year right now. I mean, at that point, you pretty much, as we talked about yesterday, was Beanie Bishop just was a guy without a position right now. He didn't fit in right now. So why even take that risk of, you know, flipping him and Dante Kent in their positions right now and hopefully get him through to the practice squad? He gets picked up and you don't really want Beanie Bishop and you're bringing back James Pierre. So whatever it is, I think Beanie's, I don't think you'll end up finding him. I could be wrong. I don't anticipate him going on the practice squad because I think somebody else will see those five picks or four picks last year. And
yeah,
I mean, all their interceptions are gone from last year. Dante Jackson, Minka Fitzpatrick, Beanie Bishop. And
well, look, some of that is to be expected when you bring in Jalen Ramsey and Darius Slay. Like there's, it's going to tighten up the roster at that position, and Brandon Echols for that matter. But it was still interesting to me that after the rookie year that Beanie had, that they would be comfortable exposing him to waivers. He'll probably get picked up somewhere. Cause like you said, somebody's going to see the five picks and the impact he had when he was around the football. And you would think there's a job for him on special teams too. Same goes for James Pierre, even though I'm not as big a fan of Pierre as I am of Beanie. You know, I guess they're just looking at Brandon Echols as two guys in one, maybe, and saving the roster spot. Now, the other part of this is the quarterback part figures into this entire equation because they've got four right now. There's no way in hell they're going into the regular season with four quarterbacks on the roster. I can't imagine. So my guess, and I'm not the only one making this assumption, is that they'll slide Will Howard onto IR, and that'll open up a roster spot to maybe bring back one of these guys. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it whatsoever. I think
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Will Howard needs to be on the field as much as he can be. I mean, we heard what Tomlin said the other day. I mean, he could have been blowing smoke. He's been known to do that before, talking about how he's close. But you see it with your own two eyes, too. I mean, he changed the brace. He's throwing it. So he's not far away. But is he football ready? Absolutely not. He's a rookie that missed 3 weeks, you know. But I don't think that should be the headline of that story. The headline should be, let's get this guy out here. And if we have to get the Will Howard number three. Maybe we'll go outside and find somebody right now. If you have to get the Skylar Thompson, I want Will Howard just to be a guy around, a guy having his uniform on, a guy at practice, a guy taking a couple of reps. Because if he goes on IR, even if it is for 4 weeks, up to what, 6-7 weeks, whatever it could be, depending when they start that clock, I think it's 20 days. It's a lost season.
Well, it's entirely possible they look at it and say the classroom and meeting room work is more important for Will Howard at this stage of his development than necessarily taking a few snaps and practice every day as the number three. Or in this case, maybe number four, depending on how many, you know, if they were to actually keep four quarterbacks beyond Will Howard's recovery timetable, which again, I don't think they'll do, but how much work is he really going to get on the practice field? And it's more about mentally getting up to the speed of things with an NFL offense.
Well, I think there's a difference between going into a room and just watching the film and talking to people and all that, and actually lacing up the boots, getting out there, throwing the ball around, having that mentality of, hey, I might be the emergency quarterback, but there's always a chance. Right now, there's no chance if he goes on IR. And I just don't know if Skylar Thompson's addition to the roster as that number three guy is even worth it at that point. At this point, I would much rather do a Will Howard and get him out there. Like I said, to me, it's a waste of season. Next year, you're going to go into the season the same exact way. Is Will Howard any good?
I don't know. But I will argue that I think as soon as he hurt his hand, that I don't want to say made it a lost season, but it kind of laid the groundwork for you're not going to see Will Howard take any snaps of consequence this year, most likely. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to get into next draft season not really knowing what you had anyway, because you weren't going to get those preseason snaps. And so they're looking at it as we'd rather have a number three, maybe. Again, if Will Howard's on IR for the foreseeable future, we'd rather have a number three who's taken not a ton, but some significant snaps at the NFL level, and a guy who really did show them a lot of things in the preseason, granted, against the opposition's third and fourth stringers in Skylar Thompson.
I don't know, man. I just don't understand it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to really say about this right now. Maybe he won't go on. Maybe they will keep four. Maybe I doubt they keep four. I mean, I really highly doubt
I can't see that happening.
No, that would just be a waste of everything right now. Unless you look at Will Howard and say he's might be back in a week. He might be back in 2 weeks. But when did he – I'm trying to look when he hurt his – when did he actually hurt his hand? I can't remember.
Like a couple days before the first preseason game, wasn't it? So we're going back to
August 13th, something like that.
So it's only been 2.5 weeks in a what was kind of deemed a 3 to 4 week recovery at the time by some people. So I get if you're going to do that now, especially look, let's as much as we've all been excited about Will Howard and the kid says all the right things and he's doing all the right things when he was out there practicing, he is still a late round pick who you brought on as sort of a test case, a trial balloon to see, okay, maybe there's something in this kid. Like you said, you're not going to know that now. And but as I pointed out, I think as soon as he hurt his hand, that was the case. And you were going to have to just say, lost year, because we're not going to see any preseason reps from him. And most likely, if we get to the regular season and we're down to our third quarterback, we're screwed anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I still look at next year. If Rodgers is gone, you have Rudolph. And maybe you get your quarterback in the first round, maybe you're not, even if you're probably going to bring him along somewhat slow. So right now you just – and say, okay, Mike Tomlin doesn't speak in hypotheticals, right? Let me speak in hypotheticals here. How about this all occurs, then Rudolph gets hurt early next season. All of a sudden you got Will Howard coming out of the blue. I don't know. I just saw what they did to Mason, and it set him back.
Yeah.
It set him back a lot. So I just keep looking at it. If you want to get a good feel on what Will Howard is, I think he needs to make this roster. And I think it needs to be before, like, you know, they come back from Ireland.
I do think there's a big difference between the system around Rudolph's rookie year, a veteran quarterback who didn't necessarily care if Mason learned from him or not, and the lack of a quarterback's coach, to now when they do have a quarterback's coach and they do have a veteran quarterback, two veteran quarterbacks, who's one of them's a future Hall of Famer, who have said, yeah, you know, I'm here for Will if he needs anything. So I get what you're saying about the actual lacing up the boots, taking the snaps in practice, all that. And you're right. It's a valid point. I just think his development this year was going to be more based on meetings and classroom and film work and simply picking the brain of Aaron Rodgers and or Mason Rudolph rather than, you know, those few reps he would get as a third team quarterback.
My thing is if he never did get hurt, mm-hmm. would this be Will Howard doing the Skylar Thompson against second and third stringers, putting up big numbers? I would say probably.
Possibly, yeah.
Then we'd be clamoring him for being number two.
Sure.
But, you know, that's always going to be. Right now, you look at it, it's not going to really matter right now for this season because we're still talking about the third and fourth string quarterbacks and
true.
Skylar Thompson here. But
well, yeah, but there's an interesting angle to this. Thanks, by the way, to the Dan Heck team for continuing to support Cabali and Mac. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. Mm-hmm. They are the ones to take care of you. HeckTeamHomes.com. HAECK, HeckTeamHomes.com. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team there to help you find the perfect home, whether it's your first home, you're upgrading, maybe downsizing, whatever it may be. HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK, the Dan Heck team there to help you. And we appreciate them, of course, for supporting Cabali and Mac. The angle that is interesting to this, from my point of view, is if they do keep Skylar Thompson around as the third quarterback for the foreseeable future. That's a move that you make, I think, if you try to crawl into Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan's brains, is, hey, we've decided we're all in on this year.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And if, God forbid, we get down to the third quarterback, we want to have a guy who's at least taken some NFL snaps before.
Yeah. 180 career passes.
Yeah, I get it, but it's better than a rookie who hasn't even taken a preseason snap yet.
Is it?
You could look at Skylar Thompson's performance in the preseason and argue that. I'm trying to look at it from their point of view. But you then also, on the other side of the ball, to go back to Beanie and James Pierre, got rid of two experienced guys to keep a young guy in Dante Kent, who basically didn't do anything in camp in the preseason because he was hurt. So that would conflict with that line of thinking, again, unless they're still maneuvering behind the scenes.
They just absolutely love Dante Kent, and they don't feel they should take the chance of putting him on the waiver wire without seeing what at least he can do first. And they knew they didn't want Beanie Bishop. I mean, like I said, when he did not play on that Carolina game, then he wasn't at practice a couple days later. He wasn't spotted at it. You knew something was kind of weird going on right there. And when, you know, Robert Woods, when he was didn't get in the game until the fourth quarter, then he did play a lot against Carolina, and you didn't even know he was there. The only thing that surprised me about Robert Woods was I thought just his veteran leadership would maybe push him over the edge. But maybe they looked at Scotty Miller and thought he had enough leadership at that point right now. But
well, we've heard nothing but good things about Scotty Miller.
We've seen great good things from Scotty Miller. He played well. I mean, he's played in big games. He had big touchdowns. He's played with great quarterbacks. I mean, mm-hmm. he pretty much has done it all. I mean, is he super talented? Of course not. But, you know, he can fit in and make plays when you need him to.
Well, I will say it'll be interesting if we get to, say, the end of the day today, maybe into tomorrow, and Robert Woods is still sitting out there.
I have a feeling he's not coming back.
Yeah?
I just don't feel that that's. I mean, I just don't feel that. I don't think you sit there for a guy like that and say, "Hey, we'll bring you back in 2 weeks." I think he'll sign somewhere else.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, like I said, the way things continue, because rosters are still shaking out. The Vikings just traded to get Adam Thielen back. So the wide receiver depth charts are maneuvering all over the league.
What did they end up getting for Thielen?
I want to say a fourth-round pick it nets out to. I saw a rap sheet mentioned just a couple minutes ago. Hold on. I want to make sure I have it right before I mention it.
Tips on him last year, and they just decided against him.
So Minnesota gets Thielen, a seventh rounder next year, and a fifth rounder the year after that. The seventh rounder next year is conditional. Carolina gets a fifth rounder next year and a fourth rounder the year after that. It's just a bunch of pick swaps and Thielen to Minnesota, basically. Late round pick swaps for the most part. So it's not like...
I think the Steelers could have got him for like a late round pick last year, probably a fifth or a sixth.
Yeah.
Sixth, probably, I think.
This was more pushed forward by Thielen, though, in that he wanted to go back to Minnesota. And the only reason Carolina really put up a fight is because they've got a bunch of young receivers. Yeah, but they wanted to have that veteran presence around for Bryce Young. So I understand why Carolina hesitated. They ended up giving Adam Thielen what he wanted, and Minnesota gets somebody to insulate against the absence of Jordan Addison for the first few weeks and a couple other guys that are hurt. But my point is, not that the Steelers should have been in the Adam Thielen market right now, because he wasn't interested in coming here, but more so that the depth charts are still shaking out around the league over the next couple of days. And if Robert Woods doesn't land anywhere, then maybe it does keep that door cracked just a little to something down the line, and say week three, when, you know, who knows what the Steelers will look like after the first 2 weeks. If Rodgers will want another different target brought in, if they'll feel like they need to add more receiver depth. But no, Rick on YouTube, I do not suspect there will be a Deontay Johnson reunion. I don't think that'll be happening anytime soon. Maybe he ends up in Cincinnati just to complete the tour of the AFC North.
Maybe it's too cold for him. That's why he didn't go in Baltimore last year. Get it?
Yeah, it was cold. It was very cold. So.
Boy, I mean, he had a colossal fall from the graces once he left here, or what? Whew. He's up there with Antonio Brown going, boom.
Well, yeah, the fall wasn't the fall. Nearly as far. Yeah.
But one was self-inflicted, Antonio Brown. The other one was just, well, I guess it was partially self-inflicted for Deontay. It seems like, man, they didn't get rid of him. I mean, Le'Veon Bell was right there and never was himself either when they got rid of him, too. So I think Deontay Johnson, there's not much more places he can go right now. So,
yeah, not a lot of people have left the Steelers as offensive weapons and got on to future greatness in recent history. So Deontay Johnson gets added to the list. We'll see where he ends up. If anybody's curious, I really don't care. It's more about amusement purposes at this point. You know how when you buy a lottery ticket or something somewhere that isn't supposed to be selling them, and they say or like the old poker machines used to say, for amusement purposes only. That's what Deontay Johnson, the rest of his career is for me now as a Steelers fan. Amusement purposes only. I'm not actually keeping an eye out to see if he does anything, because I don't think he will. Thanks as well to the guys at the Third Do First In podcast for supporting the show. They've jumped on board recently. Firefighter and First Responder podcast. They'd love you to check it out. Keith and Gino have a bunch of great stories about living that life. And for those of you that are in it, maybe you want to hear those stories and some of the guests they have. For those of you that aren't, like I said, you get a little slice of the life and what it's like. Follow them on social media and on YouTube at Third Do First In. We appreciate them supporting Kabali and Mac as well. As for wide receivers, since we were on the subject of Adam Thielen and Bobby Trees and wide receiver depth charts shaking out all over the league over the next couple of days, this was tweeted out yesterday by Aaron Wilson, who covers the NFL, specifically the Texans, but he has some sources around the league, I guess. Next up for Marcus Valdes-Scantling, per source, Niners or Steelers. This was Late last night, he tweeted this out. So, with the connection that exists between Aaron Rodgers and MVS Kaboom, does this make sense? Big downfield target for Aaron Rodgers over the years. I think in 2019 or 2020 it was. He averaged like 22, 23 yards a catch, had 8 touchdowns. 18 of Rodgers' career touchdown passes have gone to Valdez Scantling. There's a little bit. Valdez Scantling talks very highly of Aaron Rodgers as well. Is there a possibility there?
Sure, there's a possibility, but it's not like we're talking about, you know, a top-tier receiver here. He's, as the kids say, kind of mid, but he has one good skill set, as you said, that he can go down. He can go down the field a lot. At this point, you know, beggars can't be choosers, right? You would think that the Steelers would be, if this is true, would be on the top of their list because of the, you know, first of all, everybody wants to come to Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, everybody wants to play for Mike Tomlin with Aaron Rodgers.
But then you got Aaron Rodgers there too, who's probably, I wouldn't say, I still don't think that he's going to bat for anybody. I don't get that feeling.
You don't think he's making calls to Matt LaFleur asking for Romeo Doubs like some people are saying?
Well, he just, did you read that story, Sports Illustrated?
I did not. I just saw the headline and kind of moved right past it.
He talked to the guy from Green Bay, I guess his friend. And while he was doing a story interview, he goes, yeah, what's up with Doubs? You know, just like,
that's it.
Like how you're doing, what's going on. And it got turned into something a little bit different there. So, yeah, I mean, I think all those type of guys are on there. And that's when I say I wouldn't expect that huge slam dunk type of guy. But I think what you need right now is you need some more depth, some more veteran depth, specific depth where you're going down the field like Scantling can do. Because, I mean, Metcalf can do that, but I don't think they want him to do that as much. Who else you have? I mean, Scotty
Austin Moore, and Wilson.
Austin can do it. Wilson can, well, theoretically do it. Obviously, Skoronik's not going to be a part of that. So, yeah, he would fit in. I don't know how much he would play. And you would think he would be up to speed with what Rodgers wants and likes right away. So that's why a lot of these names get thrown out there, because you add the 2 and the 2 and you get the 4. You know, Rodgers, late signing, knows Rodgers. Rodgers likes certain receivers. He can assimilate himself quite quickly to the offense. So all that type of stuff. Yeah, him, I think he's a possibility. I don't think that, like Rick Barry said, I don't think, not Rick Barry, 412 Pitt. I don't think Tyler Boyd's a possibility.
If that was going to happen, it would have happened by now, right?
No, I'm pretty sure that Tyler Boyd's not. I mean, he would come here, like we said yesterday. I think he's more than willing to come here, but I don't think, you know, 2 to tango type of thing. I'll expect him to go somewhere else here soon.
Well, I guess my concern would be, like, and as I've explained this before, it's more for me about the depth behind Metcalf and who can step up if Metcalf misses any time. I know you pointed out yesterday, he doesn't miss a lot of time, or at least he hasn't in his career. But I want somebody else that can make those catches near the line of scrimmage and then maybe turn them into something. MVS, more of a get downfield and I'll just chuck it up for you. You go get
it. Sometimes you need that, though. Just clear out the spaces, baby.
No, you're absolutely right. But I think I have as much belief in Calvin Austin and or Roman Wilson in doing that as I do anybody else that they could bring in at this point. The reason I like the Amari Cooper idea so much was because Cooper could be a guy who, if Metcalf had to miss a week or two, could run as your de facto one for a week or two. Big body, can make the catches in traffic and maybe turn him into something after the catch. I'm not necessarily worried as much about stretching the field when Metcalf is healthy, because Metcalf's going to draw guys up, maybe open up coverages deep for Austin and Wilson. It's more about who's that other guy that steps up and steps in if Metcalf has to miss any time, or just provides a compliment to Metcalf in that way. Hey, guy catches the ball 6 yards from the line of scrimmage and turns it into a 15-yard pickup. Yeah. Maybe, and this is going to sound like a stretch for a lot of people, maybe they do look at Scotty Miller as that guy. But, I mean, I would have much rather had someone more established in that role. Again, Cooper. And I don't see MVS necessarily filling that role.
I mean, we were all gung-ho about Mike Williams last year as well. And he was very similar.
And then they
big body.
Didn't even use him.
Well, I mean, there's probably more things that went on there than we know about. I mean, well, he did retire too this year. So how much was his heart really into it as well? But he did beat the Commanders with that one catch. But I mean, like I said, I think he's just a shiny neat toy. I think what you need, I think they are happy with what they have. I think they truly are. Maybe it's misguided happiness of with the receiver crew they have. I think the more of an issue is what if? What if Austin gets hurt again? What if Roman Wilson stinks and doesn't really pick up, get on that moving train or whatever, whatever they call it. You know, Skoronic, Miller turns into a whatever. And then you have DK. That's what I think you need for what they're looking for. Just that other guy, just in case guy.
Yeah, and they don't have it. As Professor Seabass points out on Twitter, he mentioned, no, that's 412 pick.
Oh, he's doing some Calvin Austin.
Yeah. Why do you think deep down MVS and Corley are needle movers? Why don't they offer a fourth for Pierce or Dobbs? They do have, and we've pointed this out multiple times this offseason.
I mean, why would they want to trade him?
Yeah, I don't think the Packers
have
any
issues in the Packers with wide receivers, so why would they trade him?
I don't think they have any interest in moving Dobbs. I think now that the Packers have added Golden, they probably finally feel like they really have a complete.
Plus, they're going to get Micah, so they're Super Bowl contenders.
People tracking flights this morning. I love it. But I guess the point is they do have a raft of draft picks next year. We've talked about that before. Maybe they want to hold on to them and wait until next draft season to see if there's a move to be made up with some picks. Cause there's a quarterback there that they like. There's a million different things that could happen between now and next year's draft that affect what they do with those picks. And maybe Omar just wants to sit on them. He's got them in the bank account collecting interest right now.
Yeah, I remember asking Tomlin something during training camp about stuff they do with next year in mind. He goes, I'm worried about this year. Yeah, but I think Omar has to be worried about next year as well because it's, you know, it's more than just this year. That's why some of the people they kept is for that reason. You know, you need to keep guys around that can help you next year as well rather than just this year or so. I don't know. I think they're definitely going to make a move here. Like I said, who it might be, I don't know. I got the not right now or not today.
Not today?
That was yesterday.
So but maybe today.
We're still left on red after that. After
response to that.
No, I don't know. We'll see.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
We'll see what it goes, but I don't. I just think that they will have to add some. This roster will definitely be different. Not only that, they'll bring some guys in who were for the practice squad, some veterans. They've done that every single year.
Yeah. Guys that get cut are a possibility as well. And the thing I still worry about, in all honesty, though, is the defensive line with Harmon's injury and how long that may or may not be. Before we get into that, got to thank Nail Studio, too, for supporting the show as well. Guys, step up your game this football season and realize it's how you carry yourself. You can't all be as good looking as me and Kaboom and just work on, you know, the moneymaker being in the face. You want to look good all around. Nail Studio, too, will make you look good and feel good. Pedicure services built for men who take pride in the details. Clean, confident, sharp from head to toe. Think of it not as a luxury, but as maintenance. They tackle the calluses, the rough spots, and tired feet so you can stay comfortable. Online booking available 24/7. makes it easy to fit into your schedule without missing a beat. We appreciate them supporting Cabali and Mac. Check them out online. Nail Studio 2. That's a Roman numeral 2. So nailstudioii.com. You can book online there, like I said, or give them a call, 724-941-4595. And again, thanks to them for supporting Cabali and Mac. Back to the D-line, because we haven't talked about it in a while, and we had our concerns about it coming into the season. They draft Harmon. They draft Y.A. Black. And they still have your Loudermilks and your Logan Lees on the roster. They kept around the guy they signed from the Patriots in the offseason, Daniel Ekwuale. Keanu Benton, still there. But I still have legitimate concerns that teams are going to try to run the ball on them in the first few weeks. We're talking Seattle in week two, right? Jalen Milroe's got a special package out there. Teams are going to try to exploit the run game against them the way it was exploited last year by teams towards the end of the season. And with Harmon out for we're not sure how long, I love what we've seen from Y.A. Black, but there's just not a lot of depth there.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to find anybody out on the market that's going to be any better than what you have right now. I mean, you talk about Ekwuale. I mean, those are the type of guys who are probably out there right now, those type of guys. I'm not even trying to pronounce the D-tackle from Minnesota. It's a way – on a Mayo.
Nailed it.
Whatever it is. He'll – I think his roster spot might be in jeopardy right now too. I don't know if he makes it through this second round here. He's a practice squad type of guy. I wouldn't play him. So, I mean, you're not going to find a lot of guys out there that's going to make you a better team right now or do it. You're just going to have to get better play from guys like Loudermilk. You're going to have Logan Lee step up. Ekwuale is going to have to play better. And, you know, I think you might have to rely on some – scheme differences too. I mean, if you're just where you're deep, that is where inside linebacker, outside linebacker, some of the corners, maybe you only go with the two defensive lines, linemen, and move Highsmith as a rover or moving Jalen Ramsey in the box or whatever. There's always those options as well.
I mean, you're right to make the point. How often do they use more than two down linemen on defense anyway? Not often. It's more of a 2-4 at this point, the way this defense is set up.
But you have to understand, if teams see a weakness there, they will go to wide receivers and, you know, base offense to make you force in you into your base too.
And if that's the case, then I'm fine with, and I know it was only preseason, and we make this point all the time, especially the last few weeks, it was only preseason and it's against other backups. But I don't know how you can't come out of the preseason and training camp feeling good about Y.A. Black. And if you got to throw him on the field for 10 to 15 snaps every week, let the kid get out there and play.
Might be more than that, considering.
So let it happen. Get him out there. Yeah. Trial by fire.
Yeah. I mean, once again, it's just not when it's coming to stopping the run, it's just not the defensive line. Okay, it might start there, but you better have some good tackling by your inside linebacker. You better have some good tackling by your defensive backs, your safeties, your corners as well. I mean, I don't want to sound like a coach here, but it is somewhat of a team effort.
Well, that's where a bounce back season from Patrick Queen comes into play and a great step.
I think Peyton Wilson is huge too.
Yeah, I was going to say growth from Peyton Wilson in his second year. Like if both of those guys play to their full capabilities. And I think Peyton Wilson could be even better than he was last year. You talked a lot about how he looked better in camp and preseason, but Queen has to step up too. I mean, he has to prove that he wasn't a product of playing next to Roquan Smith in Baltimore.
I don't think he cares about that, but
maybe he doesn't care, but I think that question's going to exist until he has another year like he had in Baltimore.
Didn't he have 100 tackles last year? Darn close.
That's 100 of the quietest tackles I can remember an inside linebacker having.
Well, he played a lot.
That's a Brian Hinkle level season right there.
I just don't know how many splash plays he makes. He's just going to have to be able to. I mean, even if you can have him more in coverage and have Peyton Wilson, who's more of a thumper, so to speak. not much more of a thumper, but he is. He'll hit you. Malik Harrison, but you're really exposing yourself to the passing game if you put him out there as well. So, plus, what do you have after Seattle? Who's week three? New England, who's going to like to run the ball?
Right.
Then you're going to go to Minnesota, who probably doesn't like to run the ball. 50-50. So, at that time, maybe Harmon's back, maybe he's not. I don't know, though. Does Harmon count as getting back on that moving train?
If they...
Does he fit that narrative?
If they do to Derek Harmon this year what they did to Roman Wilson last year...
I think Roman Wilson did it to Roman Wilson last year.
You think?
I don't think they...
We don't know because we never got to see the guy get out there.
I don't think they felt comfortable with him to go out there. And whose fault's that?
Given what else they had going at wide receiver, especially late in the year, I think they could have done worse than giving Roman Wilson a shot.
They gave him a shot. They gave him five snaps.
I mean, unless the guy lines up on the wrong side of the ball with his helmet on backwards, five snaps isn't enough to figure out whether he's ready to contribute or not. And if they do that same thing to Derek Harmon this year, like we get to week two or week three and he's finally back in the lineup and we don't see him on the field, like the only way that could happen, in my opinion, would be if Y.A. Black is actually playing and just having a monster effort the first few weeks. And you go, well, maybe there's just no room for Derek Harmon right now. But like, yeah. Keanu Benton isn't going to go in there and immediately light the world on fire.
He's a little banged up too. So you have to keep your eye on that.
So I guess my point is you're going to need Derek Harmon as soon as Derek Harmon is healthy enough to play. So it's, you're on the moving train. Like, I don't need to see you running alongside it like a hobo trying to get across the country and jump on the moving train. He's on it. He's on the train already, even though it started to move and leave the station. Like, mm-hmm. That, they can't do that again.
You're bringing it strong, giving Brian Hinkle strays and ripping on hobos, using the word hobo. You call them hobos, I might call them bums.
What do you think makes more sense? Hobo just has more of a, like, guy with the, you know, polka dot bag filled with his belongings tied on the end of a stick.
Do you think they still have that? I see people around the South Side having nice tents and grills and refrigerators and generators. I'm like,
they got whole setups on 51 right outside
the bums there. There's the hobos.
There's the guy you saw the one day at the intersection of 51 and 88 that said, you know, at least flip me off, right? Like,
I mean, yeah, that prime location. I wonder if that location there is the first come, first serve, or somebody got dibs to that.
What do you think? This is totally off the rails. What do you think the best panhandling spot is in Pittsburgh? Because my wife told me she was going through the Liberty Tunnels the other day, and this was like Friday rush hour traffic. And usually there's someone standing right there. You know, you get off 51 and come down the little ramp to turn into Liberty Tunnels and go north right on 279. And she was like, there was nobody there. I was shocked. Traffic was backed up. They could have made a ton of money. I was like, I don't know. Maybe it's not a good spot.
After a game, if you're going towards the West End Bridge.
Yeah, that's big.
That's a good spot, too.
It's what we call a captive audience.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised they haven't taken Venmo yet.
That's next. I'm surprised we haven't seen that. Yeah. Somebody standing there with a QR code on a piece of cardboard.
Here's another thing is if you're sitting there saying, I'm homeless, could you please help with anything? You probably should put your iPhone down when you're doing this. Yeah.
Fair.
You probably should.
Fair point. Yeah. A definitive ranking of the best panhandling spots in Pittsburgh.
Ugh. See, we know where all the South Hills ones are. The 51. See, sometimes I get really mad when like somebody's like giving money and the traffic's going and they're stopped.
Oh, and they're stopped.
No, hurry, let's go.
Wait, hold on. Craig is jumping in the YouTube comments to say Schefter said yesterday that Cam Hayward is threatening to retire.
Yeah.
Is there any truth to that?
You really think Cam Hayward's going to retire?
No.
I heard.
I've never seen.
He was on. I think he was on Pat's show or Herb Street filled in.
Schefter was yesterday.
He mentioned something about it's been very quiet and it's not being resolved yet. Trust me.
Yeah.
But Schefter also said he hasn't even practiced yet at all. I'm like, well, that's not true. I have a message tone and say, actually, he did with the first team. But whatever.
I've never seen a worse, more ill-timed attempt at a renegotiation of a contract than what Cam Hayward has tried to pull off in the last.
He's trying to do both things at once.
Like,
get some money, and he's trying not to piss everybody off.
Listen, brother, I know you want to get paid more, and you feel like you continue to get. You don't feel like you continue to get better as you get older. You have all pro season last year. Nobody can dispute that Cam Hayward is worth more than he's being paid. But like, that's the deal you agreed to, my man, and you're under contract. You have no leverage. And like you've said before, maybe we'll get an announcement at 10 a.m. the morning of week one in Jersey. A press release comes out. The Steelers have agreed to a contract extension with Cam Hayward. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Terms won't be disclosed. And then a tweet comes out from Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter a few minutes later that says, explains that they've reworked his deal to include more guaranteed money in this year, whatever it may be.
Then you wait a couple more days, then the real number will come out.
Right. And it's like, they have no reason to do that, though. And the fact that Cam and his agent don't understand that is just absolutely
no harm in asking.
I've told you that a million times before. It's true. There's no harm in asking. But when the team basically ignores, like, you always make fun of me for asking people for tickets to things, right? If I text,
well, you've done it about a dozen times.
So if I text somebody and say, hey, is there any chance you have tickets for whatever, or I could get into whatever, and they don't respond, you know what I do? I don't text back. I let it go. That's the equivalent of what Cam Hayward is doing. He brought it up all the way back in February, he said, and they basically went, yeah, we're good. And he keeps hitting them up, hit text. Hey, guys, what about? Hey, guys. Well, I might not practice. Hey, guys, I might retire. No, none of that stuff is true. You're going to be there week one. You're practicing now. You have no leverage. Stop it. I feel like Jordan meme. Stop it. Get some help.
What's the other Jordan meme?
You know, the crying Jordan?
I took offense to that.
Yeah.
Just pay the guy a couple bucks and let it go away. You know, pay him and make it go away. That's what I say.
But they don't have to.
I'll pull one of your ones up. They have enough cap space, so pay him.
They do, but they don't. He has no leverage to force them to do it.
And they can't force anything to do anything.
This isn't the defensive player of the year saying, hey, I want what I think I'm owed. And he's truly one of the two or three best defensive players in the league. This is Cam Hayward, 36 years old, saying, I know I kind of agreed to this deal, but I played really well last year. You think you could help a brother out? Like, go stand on the corner of 51 and 88 next to the guy with the piece of cardboard in his hands at that rate. That's what you're doing.
I once saw a lady saying, please help, I'm pregnant. And she's literally smoking a cigarette.
That one's probably not going to work. Oh, my God. Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC. Hopefully your furnace didn't kick on overnight, but it got chilly out there, upper 40s. And look, it's not real fall yet, but it's going to be cold soon. And maybe you just want to get the furnace checked up, make sure it's in good shape for the fall and the winter when it does get cold and it does kick on. They'll do that for you. Or if you're still having AC problems, because you know there's a couple weeks of upper 80s still left in the weather somewhere here before the end of September, by all means, give them a call. Any kind of HVAC needs, you can message them on Facebook too, at Impact HVAC PGH. Or like I said, the old-fashioned way, give them a call, 412-297-1852. They'll come on out. They'll give it a checkup. Maintenance, replacement, repairs, whatever it is, they'll take care of you. We appreciate Impact HVAC supporting the show as well.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA home loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
the financial support I need to manage the disabilities I developed because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
So, we're kind of in a holding pattern because, like I said, depth charts are going to continue to shake out over the next few days and through the weekend, probably. The team is off, like totally off until Monday. They'll be back to work
today
on Labor Day. So they get a little extended weekend. They get the bonus day, as Mike Tomlin will call it, on Monday.
Today, they practice about 2.5 hours.
Well, they'll be off after that. Yeah.
Until they're off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, back Monday, off Tuesday, then get ready for
bang,
the New York football
Jets. Is there a New York other something Jets?
I don't like when they come to New York football Giants.
Okay, that's fair. So I thought I'd pivot to something that happened over the weekend for our wrestling fans in the audience. And of course, Kaboom writes for WWE.com. Check it out. One of the guys that's been talked about more than anybody else over the last couple of months, even though he's not in the main event picture, he's not really in any kind of storyline at all anymore because the rumor is he's not employed by WWE anymore. Showed up on an indie show over the weekend. If you've heard of, is it Game Time Championship Wrestling? GCW. It's a promotion based out of New Jersey. But anyway, Matt Cardona, you may know him, WWE fans, is Zack Ryder. Was wrestling.
You know it.
Shotzi, who you may remember from her brief time in WWE as well. They were wrestling each other for what they call the Garage Beer Championship. Again, the indie scene is wild. There were, you know, fluorescent light tubes involved. There were pizza cutters involved. GCW and indie shows get crazy. But all of a sudden, these two people come out supposedly to support Matt Cardona.
Individuals with Matt.
Oh, low blow! What on earth is happening, Moe's?
And there you go. There's GCW and Karrion Kross and Scarlett out there. They proceed to do some work on Matt Cardona. Kross puts him through a table here. And then I think Shotzi goes on to pin him and win this Garage Beer title. So Karrion Kross going out on the independent scene. Now, as far as I understand it, I'm not the one that writes for WWE.com, though. As far as I understand it, there is an agreement, a little bit of a loose affiliation between WWE and this GCW. So occasionally you'll see someone from NXT show up on a GCW card, or they'll have GCW wrestlers come in for, what's the other thing that they have? Not NXT. What's the level below? It's on like the CW or something. I don't remember. No, it's different than TNA, whatever it is. They'll have people show up on these cards occasionally to take part in the shows. And the theory is that maybe this is all just a behind-the-scenes work because everybody is such a big fan of Karrion Kross that they're basically doing what Bubba Ray suggested on Busted Open Radio a couple weeks ago they should do. Just kind of make Kross this viral guy who doesn't show up on WWE TV. Then he cut this promo after doing that to Matt Cardona in the ring. Not safe for work, kids. Earmuff it if you have youngins around. And if you're listening on external speakers, maybe just turn the volume way down because, yeah.
I lost my dream job and I'm so sad. This isn't WWE. I don't know what I'm doing.
And it's not a work.
It's clearly not a fucking work. Hey, you know what? I'm not sad anymore. You got to get out of your fucking life. What am I going to do? I'm going to play the violin? No. I'm going to do what I'm good at, which is fuck people up.
So Karrion Kross is all in on it's not a work, which leads me to believe Kaboom.
It's a work.
It's a work. As Rick just said on YouTube, never work yourself into a shoot, brother. I agree. It's all a work, right? But it's interesting how they're doing it. I'll grant them that, that they're going to let him go out and kind of be this indie darling and pretend like it's death to WWE maybe. And then who knows, 6 months, 9 months down the line, come back into the picture and who knows, have all kinds of heat.
Yeah. Something tells me they obviously, I think they had the conversation. See, maybe to prevent him from not really lying, he's probably not under contract right now, but there is a strong angle of saying, hey, this is what our plan is. We want you to do this, this, and that. You're not officially under contract. Maybe he did sign a new contract, but it doesn't kick in till January 1st, right? Go do what you want to do, you know. You could talk, hey, it's not a work, and you're not lying because it's not in doing this. I don't know. I think I like this maybe better than, say, just out of sight, out of mind for 4 months and all of a sudden show up on a pay-per-view. I mean, we've seen stuff, I mean, to a smaller degree, R-Truth recently where he was gone, what, a week or whatever, then all of a sudden he showed up. This is something different. But I just worry if he just, I mean, are we hearing any more? Well, they've been in Europe. Are we hearing any more we want Cross? I don't know.
I've still seen the signs. I saw one in Birmingham the other night on Raw, a big We Want Cross sign. So they're not taking the signs away from people, which they've been known to do in the past if they don't like it. So I don't know. Justin's theory on YouTube is Justin he doesn't theory. Think it's a work and eventually he'll re-sign, but they're letting him go off and see if his popularity holds, like you were alluding to.
Yeah, I think there is a something that they've worked out where, you know, I don't know, say it is January 1st, your contract. Because you don't go out there without any backup, so to speak, you know, any wink, wink, nod, nod, handshake of a contract and do this. And they come back and say, oh, I can't believe you said this, and we don't want you anymore. Yeah. I just worry that he does lose some of the steam that he had if he keeps doing this. There's only so many times you can go at the old armory in front of 150 people. Trust me, I've been there before, done that before.
Well, yeah, as Mesh79 said on YouTube, he may have gotten Cardona, but he wouldn't F Bison up.
No, Bison, you know what? There was one time, I'll tell you about an indie show they did. I forget who it was, what it was, but it was the gimmick of they were going to throw somebody through the table. So they went down into the old cellar of the armory in Manassas and pulled out a table, and they didn't gimmick it. And it was one of those old school, thick, steel ones. I think it might have been the Great Axel. I'm not quite sure. Just slamming the hell out of him. Once you hit, you know, sort of like how Angle tried to put Shane on through the wall, and by the fourth time, like, you're going through. I think we end up, the table never broke, but I think the metal
supports
the metal legs just bent down. It's like, okay, ring the bell type of thing. So yeah, crazy stuff like that does happen. But it did bring back the memory where, you know, your head almost hits the ceiling of the old armory gym or whatever. It's how low that is.
I thought as a former general manager of a
commissioner,
sorry, of an upstart indie promotion, you would appreciate that.
That's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. If you do Google my name and CWF or Championship Wrestling Federation, there is a results of a one show that tells you how I took three hard chair shots from Shirley. That one, but,
you know, yeah. How'd you handle those?
Oh, no, I was only supposed to get one, but then I sold it and went down hard. Boom. Then all of a sudden I got boom, boom. And he hit me in the elbow with the hard metal part. My elbow hurt for like a week. Damn Shirley Doe. And then my grandmother was 90 to turn, came out of the stands and started chasing them around, trying to pull their hair. It was
no.
Yes. Yes. I guess she believed in it, you know.
It's still real to me, damn it.
And we have video of it somewhere, and you see one of the wrestlers that I grew up with and newer, and just had to say, ma'am, you have to step back.
You know? Grandma Kaboom going nuts at the Manesson Armory.
Yeah, she had to be every single one. She had to be 90 probably. No, she's probably about 80. That 99. So she's probably about in the mid-80s at the time.
Oh, that's amazing. I wasn't expecting that story. That brightened my day. Thank you.
Yep. I had a picture. I just wish I could find it. Selling it good.
Yeah, we need the picture or the video.
I definitely have it somewhere. It's probably on VHS somewhere. I'd never be able to find it.
Dig it up somewhere.
It's right up there with the application to the real world. Somewhere in Colombia or something. Who has the biggest dump in the world that they ship at the places? Maybe New Jersey. Isn't that where they put all the dumps at? Isn't that where there's a huge dump in New Jersey?
Probably. Yeah, it's in a landfill somewhere. It might even be right over in South Park. There's a landfill over there.
Is there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Might be over there right now. You could sift through it and find that old tape of your grandmother chasing around wrestlers and your real world audition.
Hellfire Club, man. I told you, the Hellfire Club, Shirley Doe, who hit me, is the guy who actually trained Elias.
Oh, okay. So there's some legitimacy there. Not Bison, but.
Oh, Bison.
Nobody's Bison.
Bison. I did drive through West Newton today. I wonder if Bison, I drove by his house and didn't even know.
You may have. So we'll see how the roster continues to shake out. The 53 man. Over the next couple of days, we can chat again on Friday. I'm sure something will have happened by then with some part of this roster. Cody jumping into the YouTube comments to say, isn't it day 12? Do we get a new wide receiver today?
We went there.
We went there, Cody.
I've learned right now. Don't parse every single word. 12 days just took you to the right past the cut down day. The point I was making was it was going to happen right after cut down in that little couple days span. Don't basically come back. Well, he said it on the 18th, so this is the 29th, so one more day. No! Quit being so literal.
Let us know if you get a response to that unread text that you sent back about the wide receivers. We'll be looking forward to a yeet tweet maybe in the next 24 to 48 hours.
You know what? I made a tweet today that just said, what a good morning. I hope everybody have a great day.
Yeah.
Shut up. Are we getting a receiver? Is this thing we're getting a receiver? Which one? What are you saying? I'm like, no, I just said good morning. Everybody's tweeting like, no, so no matter what you tweet, they think I'm talking about a receiver. No.
Well, you did retweet yesterday that Omar Khan tweet about his patience being a strength and not a weakness.
Did anybody even get that? I didn't even know.
What do you mean, did anybody get it? Everybody thought that something was about to happen.
People were telling me, that was my whole point of saying patience.
All right. We'll stay patient. We'll catch up again on Friday. Don't forget to follow us on all the social media, X, obviously, where you may be watching this right now, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, where if you're one of the first 500 followers to the Cabali and Mac show on Instagram, you may win this beautiful $100 Yoli's Cucina and Craft House gift certificate. Perfect for a Friday night after a football game or any night, to be honest.
Wonder about Silas Gallows.
Yeah, Silas Gallows, who is subscribed on YouTube, was one of the first 2,500 subscribers and won that autographed Paul Skeens baseball, needs to get us his info. Chop, chop, quick, quick. So we can send him that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. And Frank is disappointed on YouTube, where you can subscribe at Cabali and Mac. Thanks to the first 2,580 or so of you who have subscribed. Tim Patrick to the Jags for a sixth rounder. Come on, Omar.
Yeah, my favorite is somebody's really upset that Tim Patrick.
Tim Patrick. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I love you, Frank. It's like I said, I think you could do better than Tim Patrick.
It's like I said yesterday.
I don't know. Maybe he's fooling around.
I said yesterday on Twitter, every time a wide receiver gets cut, it's my job to retweet it as a Steelers fan because I have to focus on every wide receiver that might be available right now. That's the news cycle we're in.
I think you should focus on Calvin Austin III.
Okay.
But I just hope he stays healthy.
And, yeah, actually,
you know, I don't think you worry about the plays. I think you have to worry about health.
Okay.
I mean, if he stays healthy, you're fine. But
if not,
you can't assume that he's going to stay healthy. That's all.
Yeah. Little guys like that get beat up when they're out there.
Well, he does a lot of the beating up out here, too.
Okay.
He's a tough son of a bitch.
I'm not saying he's not tough, but tough doesn't keep you from getting broken in half.
He's in their safeties, man. That's what I trust me. He gets down there and blocks. You would think a guy that small would steer clear from that.
Not Calvin Austin III. All right, we'll do it again on Friday morning. Enjoy the continued depth chart shuffling that's bound to happen over the next few days. Make sure you're following and subscribed. We appreciate every single one of you for the support. Thanks again for joining us on another scintillating edition of Cabale and Mac. We'll see you in soon.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.